Another great episode of the Cigar Guys.
Well, last time Zach did it, he redid it. And so, like, but we just kept filming. But it's awesome because you have the extra in the beginning to get everyone going, you know?
All right.
Ready? Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Cigar Guys podcast. We have the usual cigar smoking suspects here. I have to my left, Mark Nikolai, and I have Jared Burrows, and I also have myself, Alexander Gonzalez, supreme host, overlord of the podcast, and we are going to be talking today about cigars and networking. Networking at cigar lounges, networking with people that smoke cigars, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then we'll end it because that's what we do with these things. So, Mark, what are you smoking today?
I'm smoking a cigar that's been aged since 2015. It's a La Relatos by Warped. And I had one the other day, and I bought a 5-pack because I thought it was good.
Okay.
And how many do you have left today?
2, 3.
What are you smoking, Jared?
Actually, the first time ever, I'm smoking an LFD, like La Vacoda or La Vacada. It's pretty good so far.
Avocado.
Yeah. First puff, pretty good. Very dark, probably the darkest cigar I ever brought on the podcast. It's pretty good so far.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a strong one. Hold on to your hats there, folks. And I'm smoking a great cigar for networking, I would say. A great conversation starter. The Basis cigar. If you haven't heard of it, it's a cigar based on Albanian history and culture. Very nice, deep red band on there. It's got a lot of history behind it. Very, very good tasting cigar as well. You can get it at basiscigar.com. Try it for yourself. It's a very reasonable price. But we have a little gift that was sent to us. We're going to talk about it a little bit. It's actually a book about our topic, which is crazy. That crazy coincidence.
How'd that happen?
I don't know. But perfect timing. This is a book by John R. Dade, and it is called Is Your Networking Networking? Essentially, it is a guide for professionals and entrepreneurs on how to become the center of influence. The premise of this book is to discuss different ways, different techniques on how to use networking and meeting other people in order to promote yourself and become seen as the expert in your field, whatever it is. And this guy is, John is a cigar smoker as well. He has a cigar networking event that he hosts. But we're going to put a link to this book down in the description. You can go check it out. There's also a discount code for 25% off. But hold on, because we're actually going to be giving away 10 of these books to 10 lucky viewers. So 5 of you that are listening to this podcast are going to win, and then we're going to do 5 more giveaways on five more books on social media. So all you have to do to enter the giveaway for this podcast is comment on this episode. Tell us that your network is networking. Tell us whatever. Honestly, it doesn't matter. We're going to pick 5 of you to win this book here. And then we're also going to be giving away 5 books on our Instagram as well. So go to our Instagram if you want to enter the giveaway twice. And you can get 2 books. I don't know. But thanks again, John, for sending us this book. I actually read it a couple days ago. And it's a very good book. I would recommend you guys check it out. It's a very short book. Very good read. And a lot of interesting stuff there. And if you're a cigar smoker, it might be entertaining for you. So definitely go check that out. Enter the giveaway. He doesn't like free knowledge, you know? So we're going to talk more about cigars and networking, obviously. Our personal experiences and really why cigars are such a great tool for networking, I think, personally. I don't know about you guys.
I mean, a lot of people I meet are through the cigar shop. I mean, that's how I met Jared.
That is true. Yeah.
Was through the cigar shop.
Last night. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially cigar shops. I mean, the cigar culture, usually people that smoke cigars are, you know, relatively successful in their own field. I mean, if you're going to do this hobby, you have to have some money at least. It can get pretty expensive.
It's a leisure hobby, a pure leisure hobby.
No, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, especially if you're Jared, like smoking Padrones all the time.
Macallan 18.
Padrones, Macallan 18. His bar tabs are like $500.
Only if I buy Mark shots, you know, that's how it works. Actually, what are we drinking today?
It's a good question. Clandenny, which is a Scotch.
Yeah, Scotch whiskey.
Very good Scotch, by the way.
Local brand from Scotland. Believe it or not, they make Scotch.
Scotch from Scotland. Who would have thought?
I do think it's good.
Yeah, it's good, good Scotch, yeah.
If you can get your hands on it, I think it's only like, I think that one was like 40, 50 bucks, something like that. I think it's pretty good. But yeah, I mean, for example, Jared, that's how we got connected.
Yep. Actually, it's kind of how we all met. I mean, every time I go to any kind of cigar lounge, there's always, you know, you meet people who are retirees, people who are successful, people who are doing startups, people who are just getting off of work, a lot of that, just getting off of work, want to relax, fast Wi-Fi, good cigar, maybe a coffee, maybe a whiskey, and, you know, shake some hands, get some numbers, make some contacts, kind of move on from there.
Yeah. And everyone, for the most part, at least, you know, at the cigar lounges we go to, everyone is very open to talking to you.
Yep.
Sharing their experiences, their knowledge. I mean, you can, at the very least, I feel like you can learn a lot from people that you meet there, from the whatever industry they're in or just life experience. I mean, I would say that we've made quite a few connections collectively from going to the cigar lounge. Connection, whether we've, you know, worked, done business together, or whether we've, you know, gain something from them somehow, or vice versa, you know, there's a good mutual benefit from having a big network of people that smoke cigars.
Yeah,
actually,
I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody else who knows somebody else. Acquaintances, networking.
Yeah, I mean, too, like, it could be a guy that you've known for 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden someone else comes in, they're like, oh, I'm looking for a marketer, for example. And then, you know, Joe is like, oh, well, you know, Alex, he does marketing. And he's like, oh, really? Like, I didn't know that. I, you know, see him in here all the time. So now he's known you for so long, and he has that trust, and he knows how you act. I mean, if you're at a bar, first of all, like if we go to the bar all the time, we kind of know the true person, especially if you've been drinking, you know, like you kind of vet people.
Yeah, vet people, the regulars, especially people who walk in, who walk out, people who are new, are easy to pick out. But I love meeting new people because you never know who they know. But everyone kind of joins a network.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest part about going out and smoking a cigar, especially in public, instead of just inviting someone to a party or house, is like more or less you expand your network, regardless of like their background. Like the diverse like application of it can be from anywhere from like software engineer, marketing, advertising, people in the film business, anything. I mean, a lot of celebrities smoke cigars as well. I mean, anything, which is great to meet someone brand new. Another thing I've noticed quite a bit, at least in our local cigar lounges, are people who are traveling. It's great to meet somebody out of state who's new to the area, but the great equalizer is the cigar. And, you know, you can smoke a cigar with somebody and it's really nice, sit down, relax, maybe have a drink, watch a game, maybe get into business talk. It's pretty nice. Yeah. I really appreciate it. It's really awesome.
Yeah. And cigars are, I think it's still very, very niche. So kind of like you were saying, when you see someone else that's smoking a cigar, like let's say you're not a cigar lounge, if you're somewhere else in public, and you see someone smoking a cigar, it's like, oh, you know, I smoke cigars too. Like, what are you smoking? You know, and then that's it. The question, what are you smoking? You can start an hour-long conversation.
It's always nice to walk in and see someone also smoking a Rocky Patel and saying, oh my God, thank you so much. So am I.
My friends make fun of me for smoking it.
We're not the only ones, you know. But yeah, I mean, the great equalizer. So every time you go in and you meet someone who's smoking a cigar, you already have something in common. So there's always something to talk about. Mm-hmm. Especially if someone's drinking whiskey, it's easy to just say, hey, what are you drinking? And then you just, next thing you know, 2 hours go by, you get a number, contact, new friend.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a great icebreaker for sure. And I mean, you never know who you're going to meet. Especially too, I mean, you get really close with maybe the guy that owns the shop or someone that works there. They start sliding free cigars. Not that I'm looking for a handout, but you know, free cigar is a free cigar.
I'll always take a free cigar.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever turned down a free cigar. Even a Gurkha.
I've turned down Rocky Patel.
If I get Rocky Patel, I just, you know, they have that little bucket where you could donate the cigars.
Oh, yeah, donating them to the veterans.
Yeah, yeah. So I just throw it in there, man.
There you go.
I gotta throw them one base in, too, because I feel bad about that one Rocky Patel.
Yeah, exactly.
Zero-sum game. Kind of zero out there.
Yeah, zero's out.
Yeah, one base automatically gets rid of 3 Rocky Patels.
Yeah, yeah.
5, maybe. But Yeah, I mean, just like Jerry was saying, I mean, how many people have you met that has led to something, whether it's big or small, that has benefited you, or maybe you've benefited someone else?
As a software engineer and someone in tech, like, I get a lot of questions a lot, which is actually really nice, because like, I think at my point in my career, I can like specify things in layman's terms, which really allow me to express like what I do for work and kind of bring people potentially into industry, or kind of help exemplify an idea that they would like, but express it in layman's terms so they can kind of get it going and jumpstart their own career or whatever they want to do. You know, everything's changing. So, I mean, the more people you meet, the easier it is to get access to any kind of industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, too, I mean, since you've helped all these people and given them information, if for whatever reason you might need help with something, you have a list of people, you're like, oh, this guy knows this, this, and this. Let me go talk to him about it, see if he can help out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then Mark, of course, goes to the cigar lounge, starts asking people for jobs. He's got like 10 interviews tomorrow.
No, and I've actually met, yeah, it's crazy because we've met a lot of crazy people like in the cigar lounge. Like we met one guy, he produces movies.
Yeah.
I think Jared was me for there.
Yeah.
We met another guy, owns an insurance company.
Yeah, there's several of those. Insurance makes a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely meet a few insurance people at the cigar lounge.
The greatest people I like meeting are people who kind of do startups, but also family businesses that are small and that they make enough money to support their own family and help out the local businesses like nearby, but also like they make enough money to have leisure time at a cigar lounge, which I think is really appropriate because they can take that, what they've learned, and kind of keep sharing it and pass it along. Because most people think they kind of do the high school thing, the college thing, and then they're stuck in a job forever. But never ever hears like the startup, you know, startup culture right here in Florida or Central Florida, at least as much, or more or less like small family business, and it passes down. How does it evolve over time? No one really hears these stories, so you get to hear a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not That's just true. Working from home or working in an office.
Yeah, I met the one of the guys that owns Giovanni's Italian restaurant, or used to own at least. You know, they sold it, made their money, dipped. But those are great guys, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny.
Can you talk on this? Can you add a few words to that?
Yeah. Actually, it's funny because I helped a guy out because he was running for the local office in Orange County. And his buddy is one of our good friends at the cigar lounge. So he's like, hey, man, can you put his stuff up there? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I put his stuff up there. He came to the restaurant, fed him, and we did all that for him. So, and he's a judge now. So. You know, if anything bad happens to Orange County.
Look out for the little people, Mark. And any future potential businesses that Mark might start.
Or any trouble you get in.
Exactly. That's the important part.
But how's this LFD?
I mean, based on the ash alone, the construction's great. The taste is great. The flavor hasn't changed. But I kind of appreciate that. Nothing fake about it so far.
Okay.
It's okay.
Is it? Do you think it's pretty strong or is it not that strong?
I think it's all right. I did have one cigar before this, so I mean, it's just okay.
What's a blue one?
I don't remember the name, but it's like a small little blue label.
Yeah, that one's a strong cigar.
Yeah, it's a strong little guy.
Is it thicker than this? Like
no,
bigger
it's small.
Smaller, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It looks like a little thin Pantella or something like that.
Maybe I'll buy it after this and try it.
Yeah, that one's a strong cigar.
Yeah. Ash on the Besa. Still unbeatable, I think.
Yeah, we smoked that thing down, man.
Mm-hmm. What about your whatever the heck that is?
Oh, my Warp cigar? Yeah. Oh, it's great, man. I mean, it's got an age on it, you know. Anything that's been aged for, you know, 5+ years is usually pretty good.
Yeah. For one of our future episodes, I have a special cigar for us to smoke.
Ooh.
Is
it a Besa?
Is the egg again?
No.
Remember, I said I'll smoke the egg, you know, from start to finish.
We should smoke that. We should all get one, like, wonky cigar.
Yeah. Okay.
So I want to smoke the egg and actually finish it this time.
Yeah.
If someone didn't finish it last time.
Pretty embarrassing, honestly.
Yeah. It did have no draw, though.
You keep defending it, but, like, come on, man. You got to finish.
You know, one time me and Alex, we bought the egg for McAllen tasting. And because, you know, they give you a cigar, but we wanted to smoke the egg with the McAllen. And people were looking at us like, what the hell are they smoking?
That's pretty fun. It's not bad. It's honestly not that bad of a cigar.
It's like attention seeking.
If it was like.
For sure.
Yeah. If it was like a regular shaped cigar, it wouldn't be that bad.
But that's how you network too. You have to have the most obnoxious looking cigar, and then everyone comes up to you.
Yeah, literally everyone came up to us.
One of the podcasts, I was thinking about one of those like 12-inch cigars they sell at the, you know, cigar lounge. And just like walk around with it. It has like a ginormous cigar gauge. Basically looks like a damn dildo. But you can never, yeah, essentially you can never finish the thing. It's just so huge.
Well, they have that one in there. It's called like the 1-inch, right? It's like diameter is like an inch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to give yourself cancer or something like that. Like at this point, one bad draw is like, you know, 40 cigarettes, you know?
It's a whole pack.
That GC. All right, I showed you a video, a TikTok video that popped up on our feed. And it was about the Asylum cigar.
Yeah.
The cigar roller. They're rolling a cigar. They're rolling the Asylum, which I think is like, it might be like an 8x80 or something like that, something crazy. And the way the clip, when it started, they were rolling it and they just like, you know, did a stroking motion. He's like
stroking it back and forth to get it.
And the comment was like, oh, great technique by the roller.
I'm sure it got plenty of views, though. That's the whole point.
Yeah, they had a grapefruit on the side.
Oh, man. Dude, I love this rip.
Oh, man, damn.
You were lucky. I switched the camera right before it happened.
The bass is still good, though.
Bass is still gone.
Don't jinx it. Bass should go strong, man.
So you know what's another great thing about networking? It's not even like the potential like monetary gain or like knowledge gain you gain from it. It's just potentially you could have a lot of fun times with it. Like when I was in Hawaii, first night I landed, we went to this party on the beach. We started talking with a bunch of people. And then we made friends with this guy. I forgot what he did exactly. But anyways, it was his birthday. So he found us on Facebook, messaged us like, hey, you guys are really cool. You guys want to come on my yacht? Because we're partying on a yacht. And we're like, oh, yeah, man, we're down. He's like, yeah, just bring some liquor or whatever. So we brought some liquor. We're like, hey, man, do you want any cash? He's like, no, don't worry about it. And that was probably like one of the funnest days we had like out there. It was like partying on this yacht with all these people that we had no idea who they are.
Most fun.
Was it also last night?
I wish.
Well, you would have been there.
Well, you left early last night, so I was like kind of concerned.
True. He ditched us for a yacht in Hawaii.
I would definitely ditch you guys for a yacht in Hawaii.
That's fucked. I thought we were like friends.
Yeah, we're like all right, but
sometimes when you're out networking, you meet people that bring no benefit, you know? Like,
yeah, they're just like cooler than your friends, so you just want to like,
yeah, like ditch
your friends.
No, it's like you meet people, like you think they're friends with you, and then like all of a sudden they're like posting pictures on a yacht or something. You know, you just told them their life story. They like, you know, basically cried in your lap, and all of a sudden it's like they forget about you. They don't invite you on the yacht.
I don't know about cried in a lap. I don't think any friends ever.
There's been a few times at the, you know, Sky Lounge where I've had someone come up to me randomly and just start asking me random questions. My grandma died. I just watched a sad movie, you know, all those things. I'm sitting here like, you know, I just got off of work. Now I'm a therapist all of a sudden.
It does happen. Yeah.
And it's strange. And I'm always really nice, but it's kind of like, why don't you talk to the bartenders or somebody else? You know, like, I don't know why. And they're looking at me like, you know, looking at me, don't refer them over here. You know,
I just type up a bill and send it to their email. Usually. It's usually in the ballpark of like $600
an hour.
Yes. And when you're smoking cigars and drinking, that could be a 2 or 3 hour session.
That's actually a good idea. Consulting fee.
Yeah, there you go.
You can either pay $600 or $1,200 worth of cigars. That's another form of payment I take.
Yeah, I would take either or.
Yeah. Sometimes I do like 400 cash and like $300 worth of cigars. Whatever is easier for the client, honestly.
Usually, I'll be very honest. I just say, hey, you know, I'm drinking Macallan 12 or 18. Just tell the bartender, get him the same thing, but don't tell him the drink and just kind of like see his reaction. I've done this a few times. And then they're kind of like, oh, you know, I mean, it's all camaraderie. If I'm listening to you for an hour complaining about something, it's like, why can't you just kind of drink? So I can pretend to care, right?
There was one time we were sitting at the bar, and there's this one guy that goes to the lounge, and he lives out of state, so we see him every so often, and we're really cool with him. So me and Mark are talking to him. He's like, oh, well, you know, next drink is on me. We're like, all right, cool. So we get our drink, whatever, and then I finish up, and I go up to him, and I'm like, hey, just letting you know, Mark and I, we had a Macallan M each. I just really wanted to thank you. And he was, he for a second was like, he was trying to hold it back. And I was like, nah, dude, I wouldn't do that to you. But just his face for that brief second was like, I can't afford this.
I met people, and also had friends that do this, where like they try to match every drink you have. But after like 2-3 Macallan, you know, 18s in, you say, hey, this is what I had. And they say, well, what are you drinking? I'm like, and you point to Macallan 18. They're like, no problem, I'll buy the same thing. But they never bought it before. And then they're breaking like 100 plus to get a double going in, depending where you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 80 for a double.
Yeah, it's kind of like remember Zaxxon's, that photo was $95 per Macallan 18 shot, which is insane.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's
three shots is buys you more than a bottle, essentially, you know.
When I was in Croatia, Macallan 12 was like $8.
Living the good life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Monkey Shoulder was like 560, something like that.
How much was a bottle?
Oh, I don't know. You can't buy the bottle from the bar.
No, okay, fair enough. But I'm sure if they sold it at a liquor store, it'd probably be.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't see any liquor stores. I mean, I'm sure they got them, but I didn't really like see any.
Probably for the best. You don't want a liquor store that says liquor on it.
Yeah.
There's no windows.
Yeah. But I think over there, there's like, you know, in America, like, we have laws where like grocery stores can't like sell liquor and things like that. I think over there, I think they're allowed to. So maybe I didn't really go into grocery stores. So I bet you they have them in there.
Is that why like Winn-Dixie and Publix have their own separate hub?
Yeah. Okay.
Mark doesn't do grocery shopping is what I got out of that story.
Well, not when I'm on vacation.
Yeah, I mean, especially when the food's so cheap.
Yeah, you might as well just go out. It's cheaper, you know?
Exactly. What, you had like 10 people? Tab was like $400.
Yeah, for, we had good 10 food. People. We had like a 3-course meal. It was like this fish restaurant. And they get all the fish locally from like the local, you know, from the
pond,
whatever. And yeah, man, we had like a 3-course meal, like 4 bottles of wine. And it was like 10 people. It was like $400. $400. $500 he tipped. So that's pretty, I mean, that's a pretty good price.
So what I'm hearing is we just need to grind it out, make a bunch of money, and then just move to Croatia and just die there.
According to Mark, we already have houses there for us.
True, we do.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another benefit of networking. Yeah, Mark's got like, you know, 5 properties out there. When I say Mark, of course, it's not Mark, but it's basically Mark, you know? Like family, come on.
Actually, my uncle's got a badass like penthouse up there. And my cousin's building like a badass house out there too. So
where's the invite?
We can go whenever. His house is going to be done by next year.
Okay.
So next year, Croatia?
So we got to stay friends for at least one more year. And
That's the hardest part, honestly. Least. Yeah. 1 year is a stretch, man. I don't know. Usually around like a total of 4 years, I just kind of, you know.
Yeah, just cut them off.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, they're useless at that point. Because you
always meet someone better.
Yeah, and you already use them to their extent. So.
Yeah, like eventually I'm going to meet someone that's more Albanian than you.
Yeah, yeah, and so, eventually I'll just meet someone that's cooler than you.
You haven't yet?
No.
That means a lot, honestly. Yeah.
I have, but most of the time they're like traveling a lot, so it's.
Okay.
I got to stick with you. That sucks.
Well, it makes sense. They're cooler than me. They can travel more.
See, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I mean, there's a few times when you are both on travel or vice versa, and someone comes up to me and says, you know, where are the other guys at?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, fuck me or fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that means
like,
we're cooler than you.
Well, or vice versa. Like, I had someone the other day be like, you know, I saw, I forget what he said. He said, like, I saw Zach at the post office. I was like,
oh, Zach's me. Like, no, he's not me. Yeah.
Zach's not even here. I was like, what are you talking about? I just said, oh, okay. All right. Because there's no point, like, you know, correcting somebody when they're drinking or hanging out, you know.
No, they do that all the time, though. It's like, they'll do the same thing to me. Like, oh, where's the gang? Where are the other guys today? I'm like, well, I can't come here by myself.
Well, then it's like, no one's on a leash. So yeah, it's exactly. Like, why do you... Yeah.
That's like when Earl goes without you, everyone's like, yo, it's Jared. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, vice versa. Yeah, people do that to me too. I'm always like, I don't know. You can text him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's good too, though, because like sometimes you'll meet people that like you don't know. Be like, oh, you're friends with Alex. You're friends with Jared, right? I'm like, yeah. And then we'll just start talking. And then he'll tell me what he does. Tell him what I do.
Yeah, Alex is not here. I guess I'll sell it for Mark. You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of mutual connections, especially at the Cigar Lounge with the regulars and stuff. It's like, oh, I've seen you before. You hung out with Jared a couple of times. You got to be at least decent.
Well, actually, I was meaning to talk to you guys. I want to buy another box of bases or keep them on the side. Because like when I go out sometimes for myself and people are like, where are the guys at? Or they'll say the basic guys. Or where are the other basic guys at? I'm always like, yeah, I need to give you a base to, you know, make them happy, keep them going. But it's always a weird association because like I know they want them.
True.
Or you just ask me for one.
Yeah, yeah.
So they associate you with the Besa.
It's happened a few times.
Well, someone the other day, we were there, I think yesterday. He pulled me aside. He was like, dude, that's your brother. Because he got the whole beard going on, the short hair.
Someone asked me like if I was Middle Eastern because I have a big beard. So I didn't know if it was like a joke or like a real question. But I kind of get it. So yeah. Are we brothers?
I guess so.
I guess so.
We're brothers. According to
just keep the story going until they find out.
Beard
well, because people always assume we're brothers, and then Zach as well.
But when I did meet you guys,
you're a part of it now.
Everyone had a mullet, essentially, and a beard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not just me and him, but yeah.
Yeah, Zach didn't, but, you know, Zach's the most clean-cut, proper, you
yeah.
know.
I get that more with Jared. People are like, are you Jared's brother? I'm like, nah. You know?
Cool. So when someone asked me, I was like, yeah, Mark's my little brother. Yeah.
Wait, Mark's 28, so that makes you...
42.
Yeah, I'm actually Jared's dad, so...
I'm actually Mark's son. He basically forced me to do this entire podcast.
I don't know. I still love as the regulars. I go in there, always have a seat or something, always have a drink ready.
Yeah, that's great, too, because it's like, you can always find a seat, too. Because, you know, people usually don't like sitting with random people sometimes or whatever, so it's like, oh, I know this guy, let me go sit with him, like they'll be cool.
Yeah,
then you could get the it's honestly like first rise to the lounge chairs, you know.
The also awkward aspect is that sometimes when I go out by myself or I just want to sit down, have a drink and watch a game, I can't bring my laptop anywhere because someone comes by and says, hey, what are you working on, what are you doing, or like they want advice on like ChatGPT, OpenAI, or like keep it going. And you're just like, I'm just hanging out with Mark, just hanging out with Alex. Like, you know, just give me like 5 seconds. I just sat down, you know, or haven't even ordered yet, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck your friends. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, you know what the one good thing about owning a cigar company is? Like, when we meet a really good connection, we'll be like, oh, hey, have you had our cigar? And we hand them our cigar and they like really appreciate it.
True.
Because they understand, I think. It's not just how good the base is, but more or less what it took to get there. Mm-hmm. So they appreciate the like work ethic, I think.
Yeah, because you're basically skipping out on $12 to give out that, or actually $13, because we raised our prices. We didn't raise our prices, we just stopped giving out a discount.
Exactly.
That was very good, yeah.
But no, exactly, because it's like, you know, you didn't have to give that out. And it's a kind gesture of like, listen, let me take some out of my stash, and here you go, enjoy.
Instant friend, at least acquaintance, you know?
Yeah, dude, give me a free cigar. I'll be,
you never hate a guy who's like, well, gave me a free cigar. What's wrong with that? There's no negative sentiment to that. You're always going to be friends with that guy.
Unless it's a Rocky Patel.
Yeah. Or Gurkha.
Actually, the only person that gave me a Rocky Patel was this guy, super douche to the bartenders.
Yeah.
You remember that?
No, yeah. I think we talked about him at least like three times the podcast. Yeah.
But does it represent everyone who buys a Gurkha?
No, it was a Rocky Patel.
But... only half. I'm just kidding. No, he was like a little out there. I mean, he was from New York too. No disrespect to the New Yorkers out there, but like he was one of those New Yorkers, you know?
Yeah.
Moved out of New York when he was like 15. Carried that his whole life.
Probably from the Bronx.
But nowadays with social media, everyone on every like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, etc., regardless when they left New York, it always says like NYC born or etc., etc. It's always the same story. So I can definitely see that happening all the time.
I know people that said they were New Yorker. I'm like, when did you move here? They're like,
1999.
When I was like eight, I'm like, you're not really a New Yorker, man.
But you're 70 years old. Like, what do you mean?
Where's the accent?
Yeah, that's another one.
If you know the accent, hard to convince me you're a New Yorker. Like, if you tell me you're from Boston and you don't say pack the car, like, you know, you're not from Boston.
Yeah.
I feel like
actually, you don't know Matt Damon.
What are you talking about?
I feel like accents are kind of fading a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I have family in New York and
they're not as prominent.
Yeah. Like, you can tell they're from New York, but it's not like anything like crazy.
Well, I think too, because like, you know, how far we've come. Like, everyone is so interconnected from all over the country, all over the world. So the more people that talk from different regions, like, it kind of mashes together. And eventually, you know, USA will just probably all have one accent.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Then eventually the whole world will speak English. Surprised it hasn't happened yet. I mean, like, what use is Albanian? Like, who wants to speak Albanian?
Actually, when I was in Croatia, every single person I met there spoke English.
Yeah. I mean, most countries, you have to have people that speak English, especially if they're hotspots for tourism.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Albanian comment, I think, like, it's culturally based. So, as long as you pass it down, like, culture remains kind of thing. It really helps out. But knowing English everywhere is, like, pretty universal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one.
It's a win-win, I think, for everybody.
I had one server that straight up had no accent, like, no Croatian accent or anything. So, I was like, where are you from? He's like, oh, I'm from here. And I'm like, dude, you have no accent. He's like, oh, I play a lot of video games, so I speak to a lot of American people.
Yeah, they talk a lot of shit on there. I hear every single word in the English dictionary for playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, literally.
No, yeah, I mean, there's certain people, too, that have lived in a different country their whole lives, but they can speak perfect English just because of, you know, the interactions they've had, how often they speak English. There's some white people that speak very fluent Spanish, fluent French, Italian, whatever. Because they've networked with people from those countries.
It's true. America's a great melting pot. So, I mean, it's going to happen inevitably.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine going to Texas in a rural area and there's no country accent anymore.
That'd be weird.
That'd be wild.
See, that's the thing, though. Like, I know that we're saying, like, oh, it's probably going to happen. But, like, you know, obviously, like, I hope it doesn't. Like you were saying, too, like, it's great when families pass down, like, their culture and their heritage and stuff like that. Because then otherwise, like, how boring would it be if everyone's just the same?
Well, even for, like, if you meet someone from South America or in California, where California born, but from Mexico, or anyone from Central America, or even, like, South Florida, from, like, the Caribbean, you meet a lot of people who speak Spanish, but different dialects. Mm-hmm. So they have different slangs in between both dialects. So you learn all this crazy different culture in between all the individual dialects.
Yeah, and all the Hispanic people say that the other ones are the wrong dialect. Oh, yeah. They're trash. Yeah. They don't speak real Spanish.
Exactly. That's like we're talking to someone from Mexico to Puerto Rico, and then you're talking to someone from Puerto Rico from Spain, and then it's always like, my Spanish is better.
Yeah.
But it's just like in America, we have the country accents, Boston, New York accents, and then we have people from like England. If you're not white, people would say, oh, you look like just like them, but they have a completely different accent, different kind of culture. I just think it's a culture-based thing. You got to pass it down, or you kind of lose it over time.
Do you know that the Southern accent is actually the closest, like, American accent to old, like, English accent?
Yeah, I saw it on TikTok, because, like, if you speed up, like, a country accent, it, like, sounds like the older.
And remember, if you saw it on TikTok, it's true, so.
No, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen anything false on TikTok.
No such thing as a false flag on TikTok. Speaking of false flags.
There's a list of them. There's a list.
The most recent one was that guy that drove the U-Haul into the White House.
Oh, yeah. And they conveniently lay down that flag for the picture.
Well, yeah. He's a white supremacist.
That's the only thing he had in the fucking pickup truck.
Yeah. He was a so-called white supremacist, but he was
Indian.
From India. Yeah.
Literally. Here illegally. I think it was today, they dropped all the charges on that guy. And he had like
shocker.
10. Yeah, I know.
Shocker.
Totally not a Fed. Least obvious Fed. But. Yeah, he had like 10 different charges, you know, conspiracy to kill the president, conspiracy to harm the vice president, long list of stuff, and just dropped. down to $1,000 fine for like property damage.
There's tons of crazy stories like this, like conspiracy related, where I remember like when Obama was president, there was like a sniper who shot at the White House from like, it's like 3,000 yards away, some crazy number. I forgot what it was. And they somehow caught him. But how in God's name do you catch somebody from the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
And I don't even pierce the White House like defense, but like, yet you caught him, which I think is great that we did. But I'm saying it's just insane story to put in the headlines. You know, it's
there's been some crazy stuff. I remember there was one lady that supposedly was like making a bunch of threats, and she was driving her car like at high speed to the White House. I think this was also when Obama was president, and they used like some sort of high tech EMP to shut down her entire car, and like the car just stopped working entirely. I don't know what part of that is true, if any of it, but it's called
OnStar.
It's funny you say that, because I can't tell you how many times someone's either asked me or read an article. They're like, you know, Jared, what do you think about Tesla? Since all electronic, they just turn it off. You're in tech, right? And it's like, well, if you drive an American car and you pay extra for OnStar, they can do the exact same thing to you.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no difference.
Yeah, just don't pay for OnStar.
I think so.
No, I know.
Yeah, there's other ways.
Just don't pay for it. It's that simple. Yeah, I just recently had an update on my OnStar. And I was like, can I just opt out? They're like, nah. I was like, okay.
If you want, we can remove it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think the only way to avoid an EMP would be to drive like an old school like water engine or hydro engine with no electricity.
Or a classic 1969 Mustang fastback.
Well, if it uses any kind of spark or gas, potentially.
The problem with the water engine is that the government will find out and kill you.
Every time.
They'll unalive you. Excuse me. It's like you see the guy on TikTok. He's like, oh, I'm, you know, creating a water engine. And then all of a sudden he just stops making videos.
Yeah. Remember the guy who posted he found like a 40-foot giant in like North America? It's all over TikTok. And all of a sudden he just stopped posting.
Yeah.
And now people are reposting his videos saying like, what happened to him? You're watching this. What's going on?
There's plenty of evidence that giants were real. But they're trying to hide that.
Yeah, my uncle's 9 feet tall. And,
Can I blow your mind real quick?
Absolutely.
No, I'm just joking.
So giants, right?
Inequivocal.
Indisputable, unequivocal evidence that giants currently walk the earth.
I don't know. My TikTok feed is actually insane. Like, I'll watch TikTok for a little bit, and like, I'll see a video of like SpaceX landing a rocket right here in Florida. Swipe. Next thing you have, not flat earth, but it's like a rocket that's in space, and like a rat or a bug is like flying past a camera. People are like, oh my God.
I've never seen one of those.
I can show you. I've seen it so many times. People are like, did you see it? There's a rat that, ran across, like a rodent or something, ran across the screen while they're filming. And it's like insane, because you're like, you know, I just saw this rocket land. Now I'm watching this. I don't, you know.
Whatever. Well, you saw the rocket land. You didn't see it go into space, though.
It's true.
Have you ever physically seen a rocket go into space?
You guys are just talking about this because Zach's gone.
yeah, we have so he's not going to get mad at us.
A lot of material.
Zach's the engineer. He'd prove you guys are all wrong right now.
I don't know. I don't think he's ever been in a rocket to space. He can't prove me wrong.
What's interesting is every billionaire has one. You know, if you go on Netflix, every billionaire has one. Like Virgin Atlantic, he went to space mostly. Yeah.
They also have really good CGI capabilities too.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, especially with AI, you could do anything now. But it's just funny how it's like old stuff over the years. You see like, you know, the Apollo landing, and then you see like this and that and this. And all the next thing you know, it's like, oh, did you watch this footage with a rat in space running across the screen? And you're like, what the hell?
I will say it's pretty sus that Buzz Aldrin claimed that they never actually went to the moon. Why is he saying that?
I saw it on TikTok too, a few times actually.
No, I didn't see it on TikTok. I saw it in a documentary.
You know, you can just buy a telescope and look at the original like moon landing.
You can look at the original moon landing?
Yeah, from like your house.
Like you can see the moon landing happen?
You're saying Buzz is still there?
Well, because of, you know, light years, how light years work. If you look,
he's young there, but old here.
If you look far enough, you see into the past because it hasn't happened yet because of the light years.
I'll be honest, like last time I was on an airplane, I watched.
Yeah, because if you're so far away in light years.
It's called time dilation.
Yeah. So you can see something happening, something that happened, you know, in our time 20 hours ago.
I'm leaving.
Oh, we have an emergency.
Mark is leaving because we've been arguing about this all day.
I would say one of the latest movies I watched, which is actually kind of old, Interstellar. Kind of blew my mind.
Great movie.
Oh, that's a good movie.
I watched it like 2 months ago. I was like, holy shit. It's incredible.
That was actually a really good movie.
And did you know it was based on a true story? It's actually happening.
So we're going to eventually be living on that big ring thing. Basically a halo ring, but, you know, not a weapon of mass destruction.
You know Planet of the Apes? Do you know that?
I was in that movie.
Do you know that was actually a guy that traveled in between dimensions, saw what happened, made a documentary about it.
Was he on shrooms?
No. He built a teleportation device, interconnected with the universes.
It's funny you say that because I watched a trailer for a movie on TikTok, ironically, and Elizabeth Olsen or somebody else was in it, where like they basically. Like, you ever play the movie Fallout? Basically, they play, you know, similar to Fallout, where you can't leave because it's radioactive on top of the Earth. But in this movie, it was very similar, where they convince everyone to live underground, and you can't go outside, ever.
Oh.
You can't go outside, ever. And they have cameras, so you can't go outside. But someone installed cameras.
Wait.
They sent one girl out to go outside to clean the cameras. And people are like, wait a minute, how is she still alive? It's pretty, like, crazy.
Oh, I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of different... There's another movie where... The most recent one, I think, was this like three people in an underground bunker, and the one guy's like, no, you can't leave, like, da, 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 and then she eventually leaves, and like, there's aliens out there. I can't think of the name right now. It's really popular, actually.
Which brings me back to your story about the aliens create the first cigar, right?
They did, actually. So aliens created cigars, and then they accidentally left some behind, so the Mayans found it, and then they basically, you know, recreated.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, just look at our TikTok, and it's right on there. Which actually, this ties into networking, because if there are aliens, you're going to want to network with them.
I'm pretty sure I smoked a few cigars with a few. They never claim what job they're working on, what they're doing, but it's always secret.
Yeah.
Well, because...
That or their jobless. That's what I tell people all the time.
Or CIA.
Or reptilians.
That's just your company spying on you. Make sure you're not giving any out trade secrets.
I met a few people that have claimed to come in contact with the reptilians face to face in their own home.
Were they psychotic?
The reptilians? Absolutely.
Did you meet them in a cigar lounge?
I actually did. Oh, yeah. People all different walks of life.
Yeah, the great equalizer, the cigar, you know.
Globers and flat earthers can sit down in harmony as long as they have a cigar. As soon as the cigar goes out, though, it's like, you know, get out of my house.
So, like, when you have a Glober and flat earther talk, what happens if people believe in, like, Hollow Earth? Instead of going
out,
across,
No. So, I went to Iceland recently, okay? And, you know, Zach suggested the theory of a reverse globe, okay? And I have photographic and video evidence that... The Earth is in fact a reverse globe.
Well, that proves Interstellar, the movie. That's how it was.
Exactly.
It was upside down. It's like an inverse globe. Planet that created.
What Alex saw was two mountains.
No, mountains can't be that wide. It's just not possible. But it is crazy, the landscape over there, though. They film a lot. I think they might have filmed some of Interstellar there, actually.
Well, in Iceland, it's weird because you can have a hot spring and go in it. And have like ice on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was standing in one section and I literally saw like four different, you could see four different biomes right in front of you. You had the black sand beach, like the grass, mountains, and then glaciers all in front of you.
And then if you go over the glacier, there's a whole other planet on the other side.
That's where Mars is. Is actually
Colorado.
An island. No, it's not Colorado. It's an island above Canada. I think it's called like Haven Island or something like that.
Yeah. Basically, it's like where nobody lives, nobody travels. We're like, cool, we'll film here.
Yeah.
Did you go to any hot springs when you were in Iceland?
Yeah. So they're not like, they were the ones that were like for tourists or whatever. Like, they're pools, basically.
Yeah. But they get the water from the mountains.
Yeah. Though, right? Yeah. No, it's all natural, like water, like, from the hot springs.
Yeah.
Have you ever visited NASA and have that red rope where it says, do not look in? That's where all the secret stuff is.
Have I been to NASA?
Yeah, sometimes.
I haven't been to NASA, no.
I know people who work there. I've been there, you know.
Well, they signed an NDA, so they can't tell you, like, you know, what's actually going on.
Well, it's funny you say that. You could be a porn star, suck a guy's dick 40 years ago, or 20 years ago, I mean, and then sign an NDA and then extort money for them. So who knows?
But the problem is the NDAs are backed by the government, who can snipe you from 1,000 miles away.
Are they? Can they?
I mean,
probably.
Maybe.
Because Stormy Daniels
just snipe you from the moon.
Stormy Daniels just did this. She sucked Donald Trump's dick in 2006, signed an NDA. Then years later, she's like, you know what? I forgot he had money, like all the men she sleeps with, then asked for $130,000 and breaks the NDA. So it should be a
definitely
civil
not
suit.
Political.
Yeah, I have no idea why she just randomly thought of trying to extort somebody. For
conveniently, when he started running for president. That's crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Man, we got a little off topic here, huh?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'd say that was kind of weird. Yeah.
Sorry, I accidentally said false flag and then I went 9/11.
It's okay. We'll cut that out. That's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. The last 20 minutes is like filler. That's not going to be released on the web. But to conclude this episode, I will remind you all to leave a comment on this video to enter into the giveaway so you can get a free book. Go to our Instagram as well, Cigar Guys Podcast. You can enter the giveaway there as well. Get a free book. And if you don't win, go to the link in the bio, get 25% off. It's not an expensive book. It's, you know, you'll be spending a few dollars on this book. And it's got a lot of good information in there. And it's by a fellow cigar smoker. So support our friend over here, John Dade. And of course, as always, subscribe to our podcast so you can stay updated with when we upload new episodes. Go to our link tree and find our social media. We upload a bunch of short content pretty much daily. Cigar reviews, what to smoke, what not to smoke, funny memes, stuff like that. But we appreciate you as always for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.